shocked him with electric wire.
Community, beautiful floors, and so much more. The team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It's 95.3 WBEV, and this is Community Comment. It is brought to you by Professional Floor Covering and Abbey Design Center on 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. You can visit them on proflr.com. They are locally owned. Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space. Over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood, tile, area rugs, and window finishings. It's so much more than floors. It's a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. See their Pro Edge sharpening located inside Professional Floor Covering, full service blade sharpening shop. You can sharpen blades of all kinds. If it has an edge, they will sharpen it. Get those lawnmower blades in now. Saw blades, drill bits, hole saws, knives, scissors, chipper blades, ag blades, and almost anything with an edge. Call 920-887-8341. And now to get things started here on Community Comment, here's Wade Bates.
Thank you very much. And I got caught there. It's the first time doing the show on the 10 o'clock hour, Sheriff Schmidt.
You're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes. There's a $100 fine for you for jumping all over Jake.
That's right.
Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt in the house here today. I am Wade Bates filling in for Kevin Haugen today. Sheriff, boy, not much going on around here, is there?
No, it's been pretty peaceful lately.
I was going to say, again, appreciate you giving us some time because I know you're probably still really busy with, you know, a week and a half out of the storms and such. But I guess jumping right into it, just what an interesting night that we had just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was typical, you know, storm. A tornado warning, you know, we get those. And, you know, of course, as soon as the tornado warning happens, I get a text message from you asking, hey, come on the air. And it was one of those where normally I would do that, but it got busy really quickly. And certainly, the first starting with the hail. The hail was unbelievable. The inch and a half hail that we saw, golf ball size hail was something, did a lot of damage. But then once I was actually listening to you guys talk and the weather service talking about the debris coming up in the area around the Juneau area, and I was coming in, I couldn't see a thing. But it didn't take me long once getting into Juneau to see the devastation that happened. I saw some houses on Highway W and Western coming in, saw some damage there. But once I got to Main Street and turned on the Main Street and just saw trees and power lines and debris everywhere, I knew we had a major problem.
You know, it's been a while since we've had a storm of that capacity in Dodge County, hasn't it?
Yeah, we had a couple tornadoes a couple of years ago up in the Brownsville area, but this one's packed so much more energy than ones I had seen previously.
So can you kind of talk a little bit about how your team and EMS, first responders, even the communities in general, because you always practice, you always talk about it, but the fact that when reality hit and it actually was here, can you kind of talk about the reaction and how, from your perspective, everybody reacted and handled the situation?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was helpful that the time that this happened was right at shift change for our dispatchers, so we had double dispatchers right away as this was going on. Our dispatch team did a fantastic job of taking all the 911 calls and getting out the necessary resources. As soon as I turned on the Main Street and saw what we had, I immediately ordered in all available squads, whether they're on or off duty. And between that, fire, EMS, all responding the way they did, I have to say that we had it contained and really, I would say, under control by about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. This happened about 6:30. By about 9:30, 10 o'clock, we had all the roads in and out all secured. We had checked every home that was impacted, and we were then making sure we had all the resources to come to the cities and make sure that we had, you know, whether it be food or generator power for places that absolutely had to have that, or just utility services. And it was really impressive to see not only the city of Juneau, everybody working together, but up in the city of Mayville, because they took that hit right in the south central portion of the city. The teams in both areas just working together as a team, getting it done so quickly was very, very impressive. And I'll say that a couple weeks later, our job really from a security standpoint was done a couple days later. We haven't had a ton of work after the fact. Yeah, there's a lot of cleanup, a lot of debris that needs to get picked up, a lot of work that still needs to be done. But I think the emergency response, getting that emergency under control quickly, was second to none.
So from the sheriff's department standpoint, then is it like when you have like a crisis happen, do deputies on duty kind of know what their responsibilities are? Do they have to be delegated? You know, okay, we know Juneau here, Mayville here. People get delegated out there. How does it determine who goes where and how you delegate your people?
Well, that's a great question. Captain Bake also came out at the same time as I did, and so once we knew that we had this storm damage happen, I had him manage everything on the east side of the county, and all the responders, all our staff reported to the city of Horicon, responding from the east side, and everybody else on the west side reported to Dodgeland, and then we kind of divided up our resources from there. So initially, yeah, our staff are going out, getting triaging the best they can. But we'll talk about it a little bit later. But we use our command vehicle, and we had our staff stationed there, and got maps out, identified where our problem points were, where do we need traffic control, where do we need to put people to go home to home to check on the people that are out there, and that's really where that coordination comes from. And I'll tell you that the team that we have in place today makes me feel very confident that even if I'm not here, it's going to be done the right way. And it was an incredible job done by our lieutenants, our captains, the chief deputy. I mean, even as I'm standing on Main Street, one of the first things that popped into my head, because I knew we had damage at the airport, was what if we have an airplane try to land right now? So one of the first things after this storm came through, and the chief deputy was there, I actually had him go out and do it, go check the runways, because the last thing we need is an airport plane crash on top of it. Those are the types of things we have to think about when we're on the fly and what possibly could happen next. What do we have to prevent? And when I knew there was damage at the airport, that was a light bulb that went off for me. So there's a lot of coordination that goes into it and a lot of work. But thankfully, we've got great people in leadership positions that can help to put those plans together and make sure it's executed well.
One of those things where, you know, a lot of times, you know, meteorologists and such point out, hey, this is potential for severe weather. Is that the case when you heard, you know, we had a few weeks back, we had some, hey, we could have some severe weather and nothing really came out of it. Mm-hmm. This was one where even like our meteorologists, like, yeah, there's, you know, legit chance. We're like right kind of in the thing, right in like the pinpoint where it could happen. Where do you like already have that working in your mind here, you know, hey, there's saying a potential to some severe tornadoes where you're thinking about that earlier in the day, or is it one of those things where you're always thinking about that?
Oh yeah, we were thinking about it earlier in the day, and my son hates it when that happens, because I had to tell him, okay, you got to go down to the basement with your sister and one of our neighbors is my wife's family, and he hated it before it even happened. So yeah, it's something that we plan for, something we know that at a moment's notice we're gonna have to jump into action, and my own personal policy is we get a tornado warning, I'm going out. Mm-hmm. Again, my family hates it, but it's something I need to do so that if these things do happen, we're there ready to go. And in my term as sheriff, we've already had a couple tornadoes. And it's not something that people realize, but we have them more here in Dodge County than you think. It's either tornadoes or really nasty straight line winds, mm-hmm, that do a lot of damage. And it needs coordination to make sure that we keep people away from the power lines, keep people away from the dangerous things. Or like the individual in Juneau, he needed help getting out of his house. And being there to be able to get them out quickly rather than waiting for resources to respond later is important.
So it was one of those things. So I'm like you. I left the house like about 4:45, you know, and there's maybe something up by the Dells moving north. And I was like, this is the prediction. So Cale's Homer and I were kind of hanging out here because, right, it just come like that. All of a sudden, tornado warning. And then all of a sudden you're trying to figure out what's going on. And I said, when I talked to you and you basically said, I don't have time right now, you realize that there's something going on.
Yeah.
You know, that's more than just the typical, because a lot of times you get tornado warnings issued because they see some rotation in mm-hmm. the, you know, in the sky potentially. But this is one. And even you said our meteorologist is like, I think that's a tornado he was looking at. I see debris fields.
Yeah. And that's when I knew we had a tornado, because normally we don't have those types of things. We don't necessarily have the debris mm-hmm. fields. We get the straight line winds mm-hmm. and we get a lot of damage that way. But yeah, it got real once I heard that right here on the radio. And then as I'm headed towards Juneau and seeing the destruction, it got real, real quick.
Now, you mentioned from your perspective, from the security portion, it's pretty much, you know, we're a week and almost 2 weeks out. But obviously this is going to be a long-term type thing for people mm-hmm. to recover from this when it comes to rebuilds and just even, you know, just general things, not, you know, people getting back to their normal life, it's going to be a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of homes that have got a lot of serious damage, businesses that have got some mm-hmm. serious damage. You got the farm just outside of Juneau. Their barn is completely gone. Finding a place to go with all of them, and the cow that had the 2x4 on his shoulder, that was real. That wasn't AI. That wasn't artificially created. Unfortunately, from what I understand, the cow didn't make it. But it's amazing the power from these storms and.
All right, Sheriff Dale Schmidt, again, we appreciate all your law enforcement, again, fire, EMS, what they did a couple weeks back. And again, you never know, and they know Mother Nature, you never know what she's going to bring.
That's right. And she comes with a punch sometimes.
All right, and definitely did. But you know what? I think Dodge County took the punch.
Yeah.
We got back up off the mat.
6 tornadoes, and we're doing just fine. Only the one injury. Absolutely incredible that nobody else got hurt.
Just people are proactive. They believed, though, the warnings that they saw.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right,
absolutely.
Sheriff Dale Schmidt, this is Community Comment here on 95.3 WBEV and Daily Dodge TV.
Warm weather, golf, and giving back to the kids? That sounds like the perfect day. On Friday, May 30th, get ready for the Good Karma Brand's John Moser Children's Radiothon Golf Outing at Old Hickory Golf Club. Registration is at 11 a.m., while 12 o'clock noon marks the shotgun start. It's only $350 for a foursome with 2 carts and a lunch for 4. If all those mulligans have you hungry, stay for snacks, raffle baskets, and scratch-offs. The registration deadline is May 16th. A form and more details are available at DailyDodge.com. Don't golf? Consider sponsoring a hole. And be sure to stick around for the 50-50 raffles, where $10 gets you 10 tickets. All funds raised through the day will benefit the 2025 Good Karma Brands John Moser Children's Radiothon.
At the Children's Radiothon golf outing, from every fairway shot to shank that will make you yell four, it's for the kids.
Get the look you love from the brands you trust on sale during the May Gold Tag Sale at Professional Floor Covering. Hi, this is Randy, owner of Professional Floor Covering. Let us help you easily upgrade your kitchen and save while doing it. In addition to making sure you have the right flooring, let us help you with your countertops. We have an amazing selection of countertops for you to choose from, including quartz, granite, laminate, cultured marble, and solid surface, along with all the latest and greatest colors to choose from. We'll hook you up with a free measure, a free quote, and even a free sink. Yep, a free sink with every countertop purchase. You'll also find all the flooring on sale during the May Gold Tag Sale. Luxury vinyl plank, vinyl, hardwood, and carpet. Every Abbey carpet at Professional Floor Covering is on sale. Comes with a 60-day quality assurance guarantee. Shop from 40 rolls of in-stock carpet. It's the May Gold Tag Sale at Professional Floor Covering, 713 Park Avenue, Beaver Dam, and online at proflr.com.
This is the Hoekstra crew from Hoekstra's Marketing Greenhouse in Fox Lake.
We are open.
Our greenhouses are bursting with color.
We have annuals, perennials, and thousands of hanging baskets.
Plus vegetable plants, herbs, and succulents.
Our 30,000 square feet of greenhouse space to shop in is amazing.
That's a lot of feet.
We have carts and cement walkways to make your shopping experience even better.
Our staff is very knowledgeable and willing to help with all your flower and gardening needs.
A new lotus statuary is coming in any day.
Gift cards are always available.
Check us out on Facebook for more info and pictures.
We are located on County Road A, 1/2 mile north of Highway 33 between Fox Lake and Randolph.
Our hours for May are Monday through Friday, 9 to 6, and Saturday, 8 to 5.
And we're always closed on Sundays.
You heard it, folks. Come to Hoekstra's Marketing Greenhouse.
And you'll be glad you did.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And we are back with more Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV. Here's Wade Bates.
Thank you very much, Jake Hayes. That's a $200 fine for me.
Just twice now.
Twice now.
Maybe you get it on the third
try. I don't know. This is Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV and Daily Dodge TV. Honored to be joined by the esteemed Sheriff of Dodge County, Dale Schmidt. Sheriff, a couple other things. Obviously, you came through Memorial Day weekend. How was it out on the roads and in the county for the Sheriff's Department?
Well, we put out a release on Friday asking everybody to slow down. We wanted to reduce the amount of serious crashes, fatal crashes. I can tell you I've had Memorial Days. I've had July 4th holidays where we end up getting a page that somebody has died in a motor vehicle crash. We didn't have that this last weekend, thankfully. And one of the busier travel weekends of the year. We're hoping that carries on through the summer, that we can get people to slow down, drive safely, and that we don't have to make as many death notifications as a result of unsafe driving.
Exactly it. And obviously you've made a big effort to reduce crashes in the region, you know, not only on the county roads, but, you know, even playing a role on, you know, 151 that goes through as well, because sometimes people get in a hurry and they end up maybe losing focus on where their focus should be.
Yeah, we have a lot of big highways coming through. We got 151, 33, Interstate 41, and Highway 60, Highway 26. We've got a lot of major highways with a lot of crash potential, unfortunately. And so we've been working hard through the years. I know about 7-8 years ago we started an initiative. It was a traffic crash reduction strategy. And really part of it was education, which a lot of credit goes to the news media for helping us out, getting the word out to the public of what we're trying to do, and letting people know that for every 5 miles an hour faster you go, you're really quadrupling the potential for injury or death, just because you've got a faster closing distance between you and that other vehicle coming towards you, and so it's we're asking for the public's assistance in slowing down and driving safely as well. I just sent out an email this morning to my staff, letting them know that we are really going to have another push this year. What the benefits were the last time were, we were somewhere in the 20s, 2022 range for fatal crashes per year in Dodge County. We instituted this reduction strategy, and that very next year we brought it down to 8, which is the lowest amount of fatalities we've had in Dodge County in history. We had it bumped up to 11, I think, the next year, and then it jumped down to 8 again the following year. So we had 2 years in a 3-year period with the lowest amount of traffic fatalities in history. So obviously something we've been doing is working. We still are very traffic enforcement heavy or oriented agency, and that's going to continue, but we're really going to be stepping up our efforts in coming weeks, just so we can try to continue to keep those fatality numbers down. We really want to get to less crashes as well. That's really an ultimate goal there, but it's going to take a lot of work, not only from our staff, but from the public to help us out by slowing down, not drinking and driving, wearing those seat belts, and not being inattentive. Put those phones down, pay attention, stop at those stop signs. And so we're going to be enforcing particularly those, but other traffic laws as well, so that you'll see us present out in the community. You'll may see us behind you, and hopefully we don't. If you're doing things the way you're supposed to, you won't have to worry about that, but we need people to slow down, drive safely, so we don't have to make those death notifications.
What percent, or if you have numbers, what percentage of, you know, obviously speed and not paying attention on your phone, I mean, do those go hand in hand? Do you see a lot of times if somebody ends up in an accident, whether it's alcohol related or if it's non-alcohol related accidents, they're screwing around on their phone a little bit and maybe put their head down for a little bit and rear end somebody or run a stop sign and things like that?
The numbers that we put out on Friday kind of show that just about most of our fatal crashes have something to do with speed or inattentive driving of some sort, whether that's a cell phone or just not paying attention and they blow through a stop sign. We saw a lot of that last year. We've had other years where I think it was the year before, we had wrong-way drivers were the biggest causation of fatal crashes. We had the one that was north of Beaver Dam here that 3 people died because of a wrong-way driver. We had one up in Waupun that I think it was 1 person died there. We had one up on Highway 41, 1 down on Highway 26. I think there were 4 crashes in the 1 year that were wrong-way drivers. So it's odd how it works. It's not always speed, but speed generally plays a factor, even in the wrong-way traffic. You got people that are speeding. A lot of time with the wrong-way drivers, they're elderly drivers or they're impaired drivers. I know one of our sergeants, Sergeant Matt Meyer, I believe has gotten 2, if not 3 in the last 2 years, wrong way drivers that were impaired. So it's an epidemic that speed and doing these other dangerous things are a risk to the motoring public.
Does that happen more often at night than during the day, or maybe somebody's – is it just all different light? Because I mean, you think sometimes maybe at night somebody not familiar, they're maybe turning in on a cross and they don't know it, or they don't – maybe because they're not paying attention or whatever, they don't realize it's a 4-laner and then they end up the wrong way. And, you know, at some point if you're not impaired though, you'd think that you'd be able to figure out you're going in the wrong one, but it's not always the case, is it?
You'd think. But remember, impaired drivers will drive all time of day.
Yeah.
I know sitting in my office last week, we had two of them on 151 during the daytime. Mm-hmm. And they happen all time of the day. And we try to get there as quickly as we can, but we can't always get there because they're right now. But we're really asking for the public to help us out. You slow down to that speed limit, slow down, going 65 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. You are increasing your chance for a fatal crash or a serious crash. And if you hit the brakes, you're going to have a longer stopping distance and more likelihood of you getting involved in a crash.
It's like we have a caller on the line. Diane, good morning.
Well, EF2 survivor.
Diane, are you there?
I am.
Are you there?
Hey, good. What's going on?
What's going on? I wanted to give a shout out to our good sheriff, Mr. Dale Schmidt, and his team, who were so epic in helping us through this tornado that we had in Juneau on the 15th of May. He got here pretty quick. He looked at me and he looked at Greg and he goes, "You guys are fine. I'm moving down the road." I go, "Yep, we're good. We're good." So I too want to say, everybody, just slow down, be careful. Now that we've had tornado activity in Juneau, people are actually driving slower through Juneau now, and I thank them for that.
They call it rubbernecking.
They do. So we just wave at people like we're tourists, you know. We just wave at them. We're good. But thank you for everything you do, my friend.
Well, we're glad you're okay. And yeah, I looked down the street and saw you and Greg doing okay, and I knew I didn't have to come check on you, so I went to your neighbor Bruce and helped him out instead.
Yeah.
All right. Diana, thanks for the call.
You bet. Have a good day, buddy.
Thank you. Diana Ogle, who just heard from her last hour.
Right.
She's going to start charging her by the minute, right?
Yeah. I do have to give a little bit of a hard time to Wally, though. He said that Diana is his favorite person. So.
What?
Yeah. I know it. So we had a chat. He'll correct that in the future.
I was going to say, exactly. You're going to mark that down on your deputies, right? Hey, I was going to ask you too about going back to speeding just for a quick second. Obviously, construction season right now. You know, there's some activity going on the north side of 151 right now, or both ways, but north of Beaver Dam. Obviously, you throw in, you know, not paying attention, increased speed, that area and those areas can obviously become an issue as well with construction.
151 and C under construction, 151 and DE coming very soon. Just south of Beaver Dam, yeah, we got to slow down in those areas. We're trying to get the speed reduced up by 151 and C because the normal speed limit going through there is just too fast. And people are hitting barrels, sending them into the ditches and things. But yeah, we do need to be careful out there. Those people want to go home at night too. So slow down when you're going through those areas. You get in a crash in a construction zone, not only the fines more, but the chances of people getting more seriously hurt are much, much higher.
What are the plans for 151 when it comes to just improvements and in Dodge County? I mean, are there plans on the table to kind of any changes on the docket now?
Right now, just the two R-cut interchanges at 151 and C and 151 and DE. For right now, that's it on 151. They're bringing back the study for the conversion at some point that they studied it 10, 15 years ago. They put it on the table, and now that's back. So that may come well after I'm no longer sheriff, but right now it's just those two interchanges, and it's major reconstruction at those interchanges to try and keep those safer.
And what is an R-cut if somebody isn't familiar?
An R-cut means that instead of going straight across and making a left-hand turn, you have to go right, get into the left lane to and do a U-turn and go the other way. And they've got a process for you to do that with signage and with some extra lanes there to get that done. It's safer because you don't have to look at all the different directions when you're making turns. You only have to look at oncoming traffic rather than both ways.
Sure. And if you're familiar, east of Fond du Lac to Sheboygan, when they made that four lanes all the way to Sheboygan, there, I believe there are those R-cuts are into there as well.
Yeah, they've got one also south of Watertown in 26, they've got one as well. So they are around. They have proven to be safer. And while it looks like it's a lot more work, there's a lot less crashes at those intersections after the construction is done.
All right, everybody, just slow down out there. Pay attention. Please. Don't drink and drive.
Otherwise, you may find us or the State Patrol behind you.
This is you don't want that unless they're just going in the same direction.
Right, absolutely.
All right, this is Community Comment with Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt here on 95.3 WBEV and Daily Dodge TV. Taking another break and be back after this.
Hello, this is Sandy from McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. I invite you to stop in and discover the Power Lift Chair Recliners. We have the largest selection in Dodge County, ready and available for prompt delivery. With the touch of a button, these chairs lift you to a standing position or recline you to a comfortable nap. You can even get a lift chair with heat and massage in it, or an adjustable headrest and lumbar support. Some models even have cup holders and wireless phone chargers. There are a variety of sizes in stock, from small to the big man's. Prices start at only $799. Don't worry about the power going out, because the lift chairs come with a battery backup. Delivery is free. If your loved one needs a lift chair in their room at an assisted living facility, McKinstry's will deliver it. McKinstry's is a lift chair service center. McKinstry's Home Furnishings, downtown Beaver Dam. Use the entrance in the tower parking lot, which is handicap accessible.
McKinstry's Home Furnishings.
Keep your feet kicked up, sit back, and hang with us at 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge from the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A man in Liverpool, England, under arrest in the car ramming incident that left more than 40 people hurt. Police talking about it today.
We have arrested a 53-year-old man from West Derby on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving offences, and driving whilst unfit through drugs. He remains in custody where he is being interviewed.
The ramming happening during the victory party for the Liverpool Premier League champions. According to a senior administration official, President Trump is asking federal agencies to cancel all remaining contracts they have with Harvard University as the Ivy League school continues pushing back on the administration's demands that it change several of its policies. NPR and three of its local stations are suing the Trump administration, arguing that the executive order aimed at stripping it of federal funding is illegal. A woman in Australia is on trial for murdering her ex-husband's family by serving them beef Wellington with poisonous mushrooms. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
Beaver Dam's city administrator tells Daily Dodge it's time to move on from the role. Nathan Teal, who has been in the first-time position nearly 3 years, is resigning from the post. Teal's last date is currently set for June 6th. However, he says that he's committed to assisting with a smooth transition and offers, if the council desires, to serve for a longer duration till a replacement candidate has been secured. You can listen to our full interview at dailydodge.com. A bill that has direct ties to economic development in Beaver Dam has passed the State Assembly. The bill relates to TID districts that contain qualified data centers. Current law prohibits limits on local government's options to create TIDs to host economic development, including a cap on the total property value that may be included within any municipality's TIDs, often referred to as the 12% rule. State Representative Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam says the bill he co-authored waives that 12% rule for data centers, which often dwarf most other developing projects. The bill now needs to pass the Senate before moving on to the governor's desk for a signature. Washington County Executive Josh Showman says a reason he is running for governor is to build a shared vision for what Wisconsin looks like in the future. The 43-year-old Republican, who officially made his campaign announcement during a rally near West Bend over a week ago, discussed his decision on yesterday's community comment. Incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers has said he will wait until after the state budget is completed to make his decision on whether to run for a third term. Hundreds turned out to honor those that gave the ultimate sacrifice, along with current military members and veterans, during the annual Memorial Day ceremony in Beaver Dam on Monday. Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark told the crowd that everyone should be inspired by those that served and gave their lives for our country. The service took place at Veterans Memorial Park, located in Oakwood Cemetery. You can watch the ceremony on demand at the Daily Dodge YouTube page. And finally, Watertown's Town Cinema is reaffirming its commitment to the community. The business has rolled back ticket prices to $3, and moviegoers will be able to get one free refill on any popcorn or soda. Manager Matt Sampin says the cinema was facing indefinite closure in 2013 if they did not upgrade from film to digital projection. He notes that the public largely funded that upgrade, and they have not forgotten it. I'm Justin Wilski reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at dailydodge.com.
Chance for showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 70. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance of rain showers. Lows level off around 51. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Storms likely. Daytime highs approaching 64. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Currently 65.
After a serious crash with a semi-truck, everything can change instantly. Your future, your family's future, your quality of life. That's why knowledge and results matter in big truck cases. And not all law firms have the know-how or the resources to handle these complicated cases. At Gruenberg Law Offices, we have the experience it takes to make sure you're protected. And there's never a fee until we win your case. Gruenberg Law Offices. One call, that's all.
If you love brats and having a chance to win a lot of money, then don't miss any stops on the 2025 Brat Fry season and 95K sweepstakes presented by Perdent Premium Meats. No food or drink purchase necessary to participate in the contest. While there, help the John Moser Children's Radiothon and purchase a Perdent Premium Brat with a soda or water for just $2. Find the complete Brat Fry schedule on the Brat Fry page at DailyDodge.com.
The next two Brat Fries are Wednesday, June 11th, 11 to 1 at the Senior Expo with Visiting Angels at 609 Gold Street in Beaver Dam, and Friday, June 13th at Slumberland.
From the biggest stars to the greatest moments, Behind the Bucks is Bucks history like you've never heard it before. Go behind the scenes of the Emmy-nominated Giannis documentary. Get the real story of the blockbuster trade for Damian Lillard. Hear the origin of Bucks in Six. It's all on Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Available now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get podcasts.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Not quite yet, Wade. We got one more read to go here. We're going to talk about McKinstry's Home Furnishings. They have picture framing services. McKinstry's Home Furnishings stocks a large selection of picture frame moldings and conservation mattings and glass. This ensures prompt and proper professional framing of your needlework, family photos, wedding pictures, oil paintings, wildlife prints, and award certificates. They've even framed a guitar. Best of all, you will be amazed at the low everyday prices. Let McKinstry's sales designers help you select just the right frame and matting to enhance the beauty and artwork as well as your home. Take your frameable pieces to McKinstry's Home Furnishings. You will be very happy you did. And now, without further ado, we will throw it over to Wade Bates for today's community comment.
The fourth segment, you've got to be able to get it right.
I thought that I didn't know that Jake was talking. I wasn't properly warmed up in the bullpen, I guess.
I guess not. Yeah, throw you in cold. Yeah. Well, we won't give you the hook yet.
This will be the last time. Terry Bell will be filling in from now on. Now, this will be the last time that you ever hear me on Community Comment here today, as Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt is here. Sheriff, thanks for giving us some time here. You get problems with thinking today is Monday when it's really Tuesday.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I was like, really? I had to come into Community Comment today? It's Monday. Oh, wait, no, it is Tuesday, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay, so we're here on, I'm trying to figure out a lot of things.
Yeah, sure.
Mobile command unit we were talking about.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that? Because I had a chance to go through that last year because I was out at the fair. Matt Bartle took me through it, kind of gave me a tour. Talk about the importance of that and maybe what's happening with that.
So we've got a brand new used mobile command unit. A brand new one would cost us about $1.5 million. We were looking at it because our old one was one of those cattle trailer style that you really couldn't drive into locations you needed to, and it didn't have the equipment we needed. It certainly didn't have enough room in it for firefighters and law enforcement with all the equipment we've got on to actually work in there. So we found this command vehicle that Green Bay PD had, and they were selling to get their brand new $1.whatever million version they got, and we got it for $80,000, which when you're looking at a vehicle like that is really good. And then in addition to that, we were able to get a $450,000 grant from, remember those, if you ever look at your bill, your phone bill, you might see a 911 surcharge. Mm-hmm. Well, that funding used to go to the general fund in the state. And I was able to lobby and get a bill passed so we could get that back into dispatch services. And so we were able to get $450,000 out of that so that we could equip this. And so now this mobile command is not only our mobile command for when we have big incidents in the field like the tornado or when we have a SWAT call or other incidents, but it's also our backup dispatch center. I was as we were driving to Juneau for the tornado, I was thinking about our dispatchers and the tornado coming right at Juneau. What are my dispatchers going to do, and what are we going to do if we lose the equipment there? Well, our mobile command vehicle has the ability and the capability to be able to be that backup dispatch center now. It'll take 911 calls. It can page out fire and EMS. It can radio to everybody we need to radio. Has phone services, all that connectivity right in that unit, so we have that backup dispatch center. But for the tornado, for example, we had dispatchers who were in dispatch operating the rest of the county. And our command unit was able to be pulled over to Dodgeland, and that managed the tornado damage in Juneau. It gave us the ability to have a separate location to work. We had two dispatchers in there, and what a valuable resource that we have. It also has some camera capabilities so that we can record what's going on around us if we need to. And the week before, we had it out for a SWAT call. The week before that, I know we had it out. Oh, we had the missing adult Silver Alert down by Astico. That was between those two calls. So we get it out really weekly for some incidents so that we've got a location that we can pull out the maps, that we've got a place to keep our staff either cool or warm in the elements. We can get them food in that location. And we look at last year, the attempted homicide that we had down on Highway Q, the missing person search. It was crucial in that we had a location that we could all go to coordinate and send out staff to do searches. It's been an absolutely incredible piece of equipment for us, but now with this new technology in it, we can do just about everything in there. It's like the Air Force One of Dodge County, but it's on wheels and doesn't fly.
Do most counties have some sort of a mobile dispatch center, but not as – how fortunate are we to have one that is so well equipped?
Most counties have a vehicle like this. Not all, but most vehicles have a vehicle, and many of them don't. Well, they'll have radios in it. They'll have other equipment in it, but it won't have the backup dispatch center. And that is really, really crucial for us, so that we don't have to then have that command vehicle call into dispatch when we need something. They can do everything right there. If we need to page out a fire department, we can do it right there. We don't have that delay of calling into dispatch, relaying everything, and then having them push it out. So it is really valuable to us, and the ability to have all our resources available right at our fingerprints, whether that be to look up maps and things like that. And we have TVs around in there that we can put up the weather. We can put up what's going on in the county. We can put up the news if we need to. So many different valuable resources there, and a very, very small cost to Dodge County taxpayers.
No, but it's one of those things that could be a life and death type situation by having something to that capacity, just because you never know what situation you're going to have. And you said, God forbid, something, you know, say, you know, in Juneau, what happens if you get a direct hit on the tornado on the sheriff's department?
Yeah, absolutely. That was my worry, as they're saying it's hitting Juneau. It is something that we have to be concerned with, something we have to be ready for. I look back many years ago, I don't remember this, the mine rescue we had, the three kids that were lost in the mines, the Nita mines over by Iron Ridge. We had the old command vehicle out there, and we had a couple radios in there, and we're trying to fit our firefighters and our law enforcement inside of it, trying to make plans. And it was like a sardine can in there. There's no slide outs, nothing in there. And it really made our job very difficult. And most people stood outside, which wasn't efficient either. And the vehicle we've got now is just such an upgrade, and it's usable. We take it out all the time. The last one we didn't, because it just wasn't user friendly. Just so many. I mean, it's got an awning for us if we need to stand outside. The camera capability on it, a pan tilt zoom on it, so that if we need to see what's going on at an incident, we don't have to be right on top of it. We can zoom in to see what's going on. Quarter mile down the road. So many great capabilities that we have now, that just one more tool we have in our tool belt to help keep our community safe and respond to the incidents when we have them.
Who gets to drive that thing?
Got a bunch of us.
I've
driven it.
Okay, so you don't have to be certified?
We have individuals that have been trained to go out and drive it, and I like to drive those big vehicles, that and our MRAP, our armored vehicle. Many of us have gone through that training, so we know what to do, because we don't want to be stuck where we don't have a driver.
Yeah.
So we've probably got about 20, 25 people on our staff that are ready to drive.
See, it's my goal in life to be able to drive the street cleaner in town here.
There
I'm amazed by that.
And
but I was told that's got some mechanical stuff and they don't know if they could trust me with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if the mobile command unit would be.
Maybe once you start introducing the next segment for community comic, right?
We can I've already got that. $1,000 fine. Is that housed? Is that housed at the sheriff's department? Is that something you can't say where it's housed? Or is that like there? Or is it somewhere else?
We don't have permanent housing. The highway department is helping us out right now because it's bigger than the last one.
Yeah.
So we're still working through that to find permanent housing, but right now the highway department has got a place for us to keep that.
Yeah, because that's one of those things where you probably don't want to have it right next to, like, say, at the sheriff's department, because then all of a sudden if something would come through and you lose power, there's odds that both of them would be.
Right.
How heavy is that thing? Could it withstand a severe storm, do you think?
No. It does, it's not like the what do they call it?
Like the storm chaser type things.
They don't have the spikes to go in the ground. No, it's like an RV. So a tornado hits it, it's going to tip over.
Again, to plan and have that at the fair for people just kind of look at, because that's kind of people. It's good for people to see what what's out there.
Yeah, and that was a huge upgrade for us out there too. The capabilities of that for us, when we do have somebody we have to take into custody out there, it's a place where we can go talk to them, interview them. It's quiet, out of everybody's eyesight, and so it's been a great piece of equipment. But yeah, it'll be out there again, probably right again next to the grandstand like it was last year, and it's a great tool for us there as well.
We have Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt here on the community comment on 95.3 WBEV and Daily Dodge TV. We need to. We'll have one more segment, a couple of things to talk about here. And Coach Schmidt, I appreciate the time on this Tuesday. You're a coach, aren't you?
I am, yeah. Soccer coach, softball coach, you bet.
So I'm not wrong there.
Nope.
This is 95.3 WBEV.
At Klodowski Real Estate, we just want to say thank you, Dodge County. It is our absolute honor to help you buy, sell, and transition through every phase of life. We love this community. We live here, we work here, and we're proud to serve our neighbors with care and commitment. Here's to home, here's to you. We love to hear from you, whether you're hoping to buy, considering selling, or just have questions. You can reach us at 920-219-9212 or KlodowskiRealEstate.com. Klodowski Real Estate, your trusted real estate advisors.
This update sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Every Sunday home game, 9 lucky kids ages 6 to 13 will appear on the field during the national anthem. Enter a child for their chance to have their major league moment today by visiting your local participating PNC Bank. Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org, insured by NCUA.
It's easier than ever to check your annual mammogram off your to-do list. Walk into Prairie Ridge Health in Columbus on the last Tuesday of any month to get your yearly mammogram. No appointment or referral needed. If you're over 40 years old and due for a yearly screening mammogram, just bring your insurance card and the name of your physician with you. Visit anytime between 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. on the last Tuesday of every month. Learn more about the walk-in program and confirm upcoming dates at prairieridge.health.
Spring is here, so get your home's heating and cooling system in tip-top shape now at Surefire. We've kicked off our annual spring special with savings on annual maintenance for up to $60 off. Need a new system? Get up to $2,000 in rebates on a new Lennox whole home comfort system. Beat the heat and stay sweat-free this summer by claiming your savings before May 31st. Call 920-485-4883 or visit SurefireInc.com for details. Surefire, keeping what's important comfortable since 1947.
Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And with the last segment here of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, here is Wade Bates with Coach Schmidt, better known as Sheriff Dale Schmidt.
All right, no fines in this segment.
No.
At least not from him. Hopefully not from you.
You did a nice job.
Jake Hayes is the all-star up there.
Yeah, he's come so far in the last couple of years, hasn't he?
He is. Jake's fantastic. He came from Iowa.
Did he?
Then via Illinois. He went to Illinois to Iowa and then here.
Wow. Well, so, hope he sticks around for a while.
Yeah, and hopefully the Iowa stuff rubbed off on him as opposed to his Illinois.
He's not a Hawkeye fan, is he?
I believe Jake is an Iowa. Jake, are you an Iowa State guy?
I am actually a Hawkeyes fan.
Oh, that's too bad.
Fighting Illini?
Yeah, well, I went to University of Northern Iowa, so go Panthers there, especially Panthers basketball. But, yeah, when it comes to actual football at the collegiate level, I am definitely more aligned with the Hawkeyes.
All right.
Can't say anything now because of what the Badger football team is going through. So we'll just be like, tip our cap to you, Jake. Speaking of the teams, you know, everybody in law enforcement is on the same team, but people may be noticing some new team members they may be seeing out and about on the roadways.
Yeah, we were fortunate when I started here in Dodge County in the mid-2000s era. We had 6 state troopers here in Dodge County that helped us out a lot. And through retirements and, you know, the mass resignations and retirements and things through the years, we have been really light on our state troopers in Dodge County. And it's been a real struggle for us because we used to rely on them to help us out with crashes and things like that. So I'm very happy. Sergeant Erica Ballwig-Larson, who actually is from Fox Lake, is responsible for our area. She does a fantastic job, and I've been begging and begging and begging. Can we get some more troopers? And she came through for me, and we're not where we used to be, but we are much closer than we have been in a very long time. We've been really 1 or 2 troopers. And I don't know what you think, but when I see a trooper in the median on 151 or 41 or somewhere, I see people hit their brakes a lot harder than when they see one of my sheriff squads sitting on the side of the road. So it is what it is, and I appreciate it because they help us all keep talking about traffic crash reduction, and they help us with that mission. And so we have 3 troopers and an inspector here in the county now. Trooper Jennifer Van Oss, Trooper Nathan Olson, Trooper Andrew Zimmerman, and Inspector Creighton Schwark. All 4 of them, along with Sergeant Ballwig, and Phil Wickowitz, who's their lieutenant, who just recovered from kidney replacement. So all of them are doing a fantastic job. I saw Trooper Van Oss out there on Friday just tearing it up, and it was great to see that we've actually got some assistance out there on the highways again like we used to.
Why do you think that people jam on the brakes more for a state trooper than a sheriff's deputy or sheriff's vehicle?
Well, I always joke that back when they go through their training, we all have to get sprayed with OC, the mace. And I always joke that up in the academy, they got a little room after they spray you. They take the trooper into this other separate room and they suck their heart out. and maybe that's why, there's that impression that they're heartless. They're great people. I joke with troopers all the time. They're fantastic people and great, great help. I don't know. Maybe they just think that troopers will always write citations. If that's the impression, by all means, that's great, because if they slow down and save somebody's life, it's a great thing.
In the olden days, you had radar detectors, you know, mm-hmm. in the olden days. Now, it's kind of technology has changed a little bit. And if somebody's using Google Maps and such, sometimes they will show you where.
Sure. Yep.
Does that actually slow people down if they know they see something like 2 miles up the road? Not just, jamming the brakes, but sometimes you see those like way far ahead. Do you think people may actually slow down sooner than that?
I think it probably helps.
Does that impede traffic safety, or does it encourage people that are just going to speed until they see that?
No, I think it probably – I've seen it. Google Waze has it. There's a bunch of different apps that have that, and I think it's a good thing that they know that speed trap. The downside is after they think they're gone, there's nobody after that. They don't think there's anybody after them, so they speed up again, but it does slow them down for a brief time period. I think that's better than jamming on the brakes when all of a sudden you see the car. I'm not opposed to that. Radar detectors, I think radar detectors are fun because people still do have them out there. And when I see somebody with it, I like to pull in behind them. And if I turn my radar detector off, your detector's not going to go off. So I just flip it on for a little while and I turn it off. And then when they start speeding up, I'll turn it on. Let the radar detector, they slow out. I do it all the time. My wife laughs.
So they're still
out there.
Yeah. Those apps too also alert you with construction or an accident on the side of the road. You know, and they even tell you you can see the red line, so it kind of helps you feel like on a major freeway, knowing that if everybody's going 80 miles an hour, or 75 miles an hour, to at least know that there's something happening up there where hopefully people slow down.
Even disabled vehicles are on there for once in a while. So those are all great things. Gives people a little bit of an alert ahead of time so they're paying attention. Maybe they're putting their phone down when those things are coming up. Not that they should be hanging on to them anyway, but I think it's a great, great tool that we've got available out there with those various types of apps. I tell you what, our State Patrol are a fantastic resource. I'm really happy that we've been able to increase that State Patrol level to four people. That four people is a huge boost for us when we're chasing domestic incidents and things like that, to still have that presence on the highways.
So again, I appreciate them, and just drive the speed limit. You don't have to worry.
That's right. You never have to worry about a trooper stopping you if you're following on the laws.
No, exactly. Sheriff, one other thing before we let you go. Brat Fry coming up this Friday. We don't have a Brat Fry on this week, so perfect.
Yeah.
Would you tell us about what's happening Friday?
So we were supposed to have it the week of Law Enforcement Week. That it was supposed to happen on Friday. That week was the week of the tornado. We weren't able to have that for a number of reasons. We were busy, but we also couldn't get the food because Piggly Wiggly was closed because of the tornado as well. So we pushed that off 2 weeks. It is our administration gets out, does a Brat Fry every year. We typically raise funds. This year we were looking to raise funds for drones, mini drones to give to all of our drone pilots. It gives us the ability to go into a building or a structure and clear it rather than going in with our guns drawn. We can see what's going on first, in hopes of keeping people safe. Helps us with search and rescue and things like that. If all of my drone pilot deputies have a drone available to them immediately, rather than waiting for it to come from the sheriff's office for the big one, it's just going to make us safer. So looking, they're about $450-$500 a piece, and so that's what we're looking to raise money for. But really, the whole goal of this isn't really to raise money. It's just for our admin team, myself, the chief deputy, the captain, the lieutenants, to come on out there and interact with the people, say hi to the people of Dodge County. It'll be right in the administrative building, front lawn, in Juneau, right across from the sheriff's office, right on Main Street. So it'll be this Friday from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. And we look forward to coming out and grabbing a brat, a burger, hot dogs for the kids. And maybe you just don't want to pack a lunch to work for that day and come out and see us. It's always a good time. You'll see our big tent out there.
People can come on out and buy for the office if they'd like to.
Yeah, absolutely. If you'd like to. We prefer, you buy something and maybe take it up on North Main Street and find some people who were impacted by the tornado. That would be awesome as well.
That would be great as well. How many will you crush? Are you like a three brat guy for a brat fry?
I can do three brats, yeah.
And a burger?
Yeah. We had a school picnic for my kids last day on Friday, and I may have had three brats.
Were you allotted three, or did people like, sure.
I was allotted. We got extra. We got to get rid of them, so I played my role.
Perfect. Again, Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt, appreciate you giving us some time here today. I know it's been a busy couple of weeks. We appreciate all that you, your staff, fire, EMS have done. I guess I'll give you any last words.
No, I really appreciate all the people coming together to help the citizens in Juneau. It's been a fantastic experience to see so many people coming together. That's what Dodge County does, coming together to work for that one goal of making sure everybody's okay and then helping them pick up afterwards. It was really neat to see.
This has been Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV and Daily Dodge TV. Have yourself a great day, everybody.